Blog Talk Radio.
Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Get ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Well, good evening and welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm your host, Jules Johnson, and tonight we are going to understand about the workings of the mind. Our guest tonight is Professor Mamu Selyu Sway Lai.
Yes.
Thank you. Of the Dogon University of Thought.
Right.
So I'm going to apologize on the I'm not able to communicate that right, but we will make sure that everybody knows the right pronunciation before too long. Before I bring the professor out, though, let me just mention some real fast announcements for all my listeners. I want to give Dave a shout and say welcome. Dave has got this really tremendous blog page called asecondcup.blogspot.com, and he has written some really, really great things about the show here, and especially a few weeks ago about the giveaway a dollar a day program, and it appears he is having a wonderful time with this program. So go take a peek at his Blogspot, and you're going to love it. It really is cute, and he really talks about some tremendous things, and I just think he's a real sweetheart. And I also want to give Bernadette in Ireland a shout and welcome her as a new listener. Glad you're with us, Bernadette. And I don't want to forget Tiffany from the East Coast of Africa. And yes, Tiffany, I have read that book. I'm going to email you next week about that, too. Thank you so much. I just love it when I get emails from all my listeners all over the world. Next week, we're going to have Andy Mason, who, after 20 weeks, has lost 66 pounds through the help of the Law of Attraction. Andy is also an expert on EFT, so we're going to have quite a bit to talk about. It's going to be a great show, and besides the fact that Andy is just a sweetheart, you're going to just really love him. Also, I want to remind you of the special broadcast for World Peace on Sunday, April 6th. We're going to be focusing on the Middle East, Tibet, Darfur, Zimbabwe, and a couple of other really big places in the world. But if you have an area that you want to focus on during this collective consciousness meditation, send me an email so that I can put it in there. And we're going to just send a lot of love and visualize peace in these areas. And there is no cost for this meditation. I just want everybody to bring your friends along and to join us because you can be an active participant in bringing peace to our planet, to our world, to everyone. And what you will get out of participating is that you will leave with this tremendous, wonderful, lovely feeling of not only accomplishment, but a pure love. And you just can't put a price on that at all. Just join us. And it's also going to be in line with the Moses Code. We'll be doing some of that also. So tune in. That's Sunday, April 6th. It's going to be 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. And if you, for all of my friends out of the United States, you can go to the website, Law of Attraction Tools, at the Collective Consciousness Meditation Schedule, and click on the GMT button, and you'll be able to find the time that will match for that slot. We are doing it earlier, so our friends on in Europe, in Switzerland, and Africa will still be able to do it at the same time. So it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Now let's go on with tonight's show. Let's bring out Professor. let me try this one more time.
All right.
And you correct me. You correct me as I go on.
All right.
Mamo.
Right.
Dogon.
Right.
University of Thought.
Right.
Good. Okay.
That's right.
Good evening, Professor. I'm so glad you could be with us tonight.
Good evening, Julie. You know, you were talking about the collective meditation.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to be a part of that. And actually, and actually introduce the Dogon meditation count. You know, it's all about numbers. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful meditation. I mean, you know, I had a stroke a couple of years ago, actually in 1994, where my right hand was completely paralyzed. I basically lost all my memory, you know, with all the education I have. Basically lost all my memory. I couldn't even count from 10 to 0. I mean, that's how bad I was losing my memory. And like I said, you know, my right hand was completely paralyzed, you know, basically all dead. And then my jaws were all asynchronous, you know, all twisted.
Uh-huh.
And I was at a UCLA Medical Center here in Torrance, California, for 4 days. They wanted to give me heparin. And I said,
okay.
No, I'm not going to take it. And you know what? I just went on doing the Wonder Wheels that people can see on the website. I just went on doing the Wonder Wheels. Believe me, I did it so studiously. In 4 days, Julie, I was out of the hospital, completely cured. You know, I completely, completely cured, and the stroke was gone.
Oh,
nothing.
My goodness.
So, yeah, this is just a powerful system that I want to introduce to the world. And, you know, maybe people can go to the website, and I want them to call. I like to be challenged, Julie. I want people to call in with their most difficult questions about the mind and memory, how the mind works, how the memory works. I want them to call in. Let them go to the website. It's www.dohgonuniversity.com. dohgonuniversity.com. Let them go and take a look and throw in your questions. I don't care whether you're a doctor of psychology or psychiatry. Send me your questions. Julie, go ahead.
Oh, great. Well, because that's perfect, because the first question on the chat room was, does the professor have a website? So it's like
all
you're
right,
reading
we answered
everybody's
that already,
mind.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, great. Well, before we get into all of that, let's give a little bit of your background. You are from where, Professor?
Actually, I was born in Sierra Leone, West Africa, but my great-grandparents came from Mali. My great-great-grandfather was actually a Dogon high priest. And as a high priest, he basically was teaching subjects like nuclear physics, you know, all of that stuff about the brain, about the universe, about everything in the universities of Timbuktu. And, you know, somehow his spirit came to me in 1984 and started to give me this knowledge and understanding. And that's how I know the science that I know, which is primarily African science. And there's basically no subject that I cannot get into and explain.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Okay, Judy. Yeah.
All right. Well, good. Well, then let's. But your name, Mamo, doesn't that mean power, Professor Power?
Right. Yeah, that's right. Mamo, you know, somebody that's willing to give more and more and more. So, in order for you to do that, you must have something in abundance. And that's what I'm telling the world. I have so much that I want to give out. So if people are there in Europe, in Africa, even in Africa where I come from, and you want to get this science that is being taken away from you in Africa, call me to Africa. You know, I'm going to come back there probably next year. But call me. I can go there tomorrow, and then we can start giving this science out.
Wow. How wonderful. Okay. Mm-hmm. I really like that. Professor Power and being abundant. I think
right. That's
just absolutely perfect for this show, especially. Now let's go on to how the mind works. And you've developed this technique of the numbers,
right?
And the wonder wheel and everything. Can we start there?
Right, definitely, definitely, Julie. You see, when people go to the website, they are going to take a look at the Wonder Wheels, and it's all in circular form. And what has been taken away from people on the planet is the aspect of the circle. The universe that we live in, the Earth, is circular. It's a sphere. You look at the sun, it is also circular. You look at all the stars, they're all circular. Everybody in the universe is a circle. And so we just have to be able to make that relationship that we ourselves are circular in the way that our nature was developed, what came about, and that there is a force or a permanent source of energy from which we all are connected. See, the way that we think, the way that we focus on things, all derived from our mind. Now, there's a difference between the mind and memory. Memory is basically a system by which our cells, you see, memory has to go with cells. And the reason why we have memory about certain things is how the osmotic process, you know, osmosis, which is basically how impulses go into cells, and then the residue of, you know, oxygen going into the cell, and then carbon dioxide coming out of the cell. So this influx of impulses going in and out of cells create a dynamics. And so each impulse, for instance, if you are experiencing anything right now that is very peaceful, your cells are not going to be giving the vibrations that are of chaotic nature. And so what your cells do then, they remember exactly what is happening in a peaceful manner. Now, if you were traumatized, then your cells are going to be taking so much of the force going in and out, in and out, in and out, that they also remember that. So that when something happens to you, maybe a few minutes later or maybe a few years later, then it resembles the same kind of a flow of impulses going in and out of your cell, then you start to recall certain events in your life. And that's what people call subliminal memory. It is all a switching system. And so what we have to understand that when these memories start to occur because of of cellular functions, what we do is go beyond memory and go into mind. Mind is abstract. Mind is where our strengths are. And so if we stop ourselves from going into our mind, then we are trapped in memory. And so when we are trapped in memory, then we feel hopeless and helpless and insecure and afraid, and all of those things happen to us because we cannot transcend. See?
Right.
And so we have to be able to understand, well, are there any tools that we can use to rise above memory? You know, I don't want to be thinking about something traumatic that happened to me yesterday or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I want to be able to solve that problem. You know, people wake up in the morning, Julie, with anxiety problems. People are stressed at work. People are in pain, you know, mental pain. You know, mental disease is on the rise. And so how do you cure yourself of this disease? You go to your doctor, they have drugs that they give you. Those drugs don't work. Instead, they give you more and more pain. So how do you wean yourself from these drugs? Well,
yeah.
The way you wean yourself from the drugs is to be able to transcend your memories, go into your mind. And that's what the Wonder Wheels do. And that's what the other system we have that we call Voice Flex. That's what Voice Flex does. Now,
Voice Flex.
Voice Flex, yes. Now, what Voice Flex does is basically, me being an African, Julie, I am very fortunate to be associated with what they call the click tongue. You know, click is the original language of the planet. Humans started speaking click language almost a million years ago. And this language is still being spoken in the rainforests of the Congo, in certain parts of West Africa, and also in the Kalahari Desert of Southern Africa. Those are the major languages there.
So it's a click language, click.
Yeah,
like,
click. Yeah, C-L-I-C-K.
Oh, wow. So, huh.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this is so important, Julie. Let me just remind you, and people can even go to YouTube and see this evidence. There's a guy called Ben Underwood. He's in Sacramento. He's a black youth. You know, he's about, I think, 17, 18 years old now. this young guy had cancer when he was about 3 years old. And then they removed both eyes, Julie. This guy doesn't have natural eyes. So they gave him artificial eyes. But there's one thing his mother told him. He says, I'm not going to baby you. You are going to be strong, and you are going to be independent. This young man, Julie, runs up and downstairs in his home without touching any help. He walks around in the street without any canes that the blind use. I mean, he plays basketball. He rollerblades in between cars because he uses click science. Click.
Oh, wait, I think I saw that YouTube. And his name is Bill Underwood?
No, Ben Underwood.
Ben Underwood.
Right, wow. Let him Google it, yes.
Yeah, and then he clicks, and that kind of vibrates or back to the vibrates
right.
back to the body, right?
Yeah, to the left brain, see?
That's the left brain.
Yeah, that's the reason why I am making the differentiation between memory and mind. You see, because memory cannot do that. You see? And so scientists who are doing neural research, I really want them to be in tune with what I'm talking about because, their focus is all on memory, you see? And they are afraid to go into mind. And as long as that fear occurs, then people are not going to be helped. But there is a better way, there's a higher science that actually is so simple, Julie, like I'm saying. I mean, how could a blind youth, they are be running all over the place, play basketball, shoot basket, that even I can't do? He doesn't have any eyes. You know, this guy, you watch the video, this guy is throwing basketball, going into the basket. I can't do that. I have two eyes. So how is he doing it? So there must be something beyond what we promote today to honor, but doesn't work. See, memory is not going to save you from your anxiety problems. Memory is not going to solve your stress problems. You know, you can have all your degrees that you want. All those degrees do for you is suppress you, depress you, put you into the insecure position of doubting yourself. See, but what you do when you go, you transcend beyond memory into mind, you become powerful because now you can see a future. Now you can go back and look at your past and say, you know what? What I did yesterday or what I did 10 years ago needs to be improved. And so you move ahead and keep improving. And so as you keep improving, your life becomes better. All your possibilities start to emerge. You become more friendly. You become lovelier. You know, people love you. People get attracted to you. Now, that's the law of attraction right there. But when you trap yourself, you get trapped inside your memory. What you do is that you increase your ego, you see, and the ego that you build around you is the evil ego. And that's what we are seeing today. With that evil ego, you destroy yourself, you destroy your family, you destroy everything around you. And then in politics, as we see today, you even go ahead and destroy the nation.
So how does this click resonance
right.
is fascinating. How does that work? How does it work? How does this Ben, how does he click and how does it come back to the body? How
right, okay. It... Right, Julie. What happens is that when you click, what happens, you send out waves. And so when you send out a wave, they actually go and bounce off of objects around you. So when they bounce off of objects, what happens with the waves is because waves are made up of energy, pure energy. You know, they come out of you like pure energy. So when they go and bounce off of any object, they then develop particles. So the particles become electrical. So in other words, just like we see the sun produces electromagnetic waves, which are primarily photon particles and then pure waves. See, between the sun and the earth, Julie, right now, here in California, the sun is still out. But what happens is that between the earth and then the sun, there is darkness. You know, once you go beyond the atmosphere, you don't see the sun at all. Well, the only time you see the sun is when it strikes you. But between the earth and the sun, it's all dark.
Right.
It's only when the light, the electromagnetic waves hit the atmosphere that the the photon particles break apart from the waves. You know, it's like when the potential leaves the sun, it piggybacks. You know, the photon particles piggyback just like the space shuttle. It piggybacks on the waves, and so it's like you don't even see light. But when it hits something like the atmosphere, then it breaks off from the then the photon particles break from the waves, and then we see light. So that's the same thing that happens. So when then Underwood does the click, you know, I mean, I can't do it so well. But when he does the click, the waves go and they strike an object, and then when they're coming back, they pick up on particles, and so the particle nature of the object. So in other words, by clicking, he's able to actually send the waves that actually spread all over the object, and so the vibrations coming to him give him a dimension of what the object is about. In other words, it's like a mental mapping. He goes through mental mapping of what is there. So with mental mapping, he's basically able to see the structure of what the waves are coming from, where the waves are coming from. He can decipher whether it's a cup or it's a ball or it's a, you know, all of those things manifest to him. And then when these wave vibrations come back into his ears, the first place they go into his left brain. See? This is so important, and people need to realize it. You know, often, I think, you know, from the 60s, there were many bestsellers, and even today, about positive thinking. Now, people need to understand, yeah. Now, when you talk about positive thinking, remember, don't isolate negative thinking. Now, by negative thinking, I'm not saying that you go and think evil. Now, negative thinking is basically you tying your thoughts into the abstract. The abstract is always negative because it is dark. And you also hear people saying, oh, your bleak, dark past, you know. So everything that is associated with darkness is always bleak and miserable and deplorable and evil and all that. But see, this is, again, a campaign or a ploy to misdirect people so they can be controlled. See, our strength lies in our left brain, and our left brain is what connects us directly to our minds. And so you have a whole population of people today who have no connection to their minds at all. And that's the reason why, you know, people make wrong decisions, wrong choices, wrong everything, because they are limited from expanding their thoughts into where they can go and actually be able to see the future that leads to the choices that they make. In other words, if you don't have a future where you are going, and you only look at today, the present moment, then you are bound to make mistakes. And so it is very important for people to realize that, you know, everything that we do must have an opportunity to go into our left brains. So when it goes into our left brains, then we are able to assess it well. We can assess it better. We can be able to see the nature of what it is. And then when all of that happens, we send the same information from the left brain now to the right brain. Uh-huh. See, when this information comes to the right brain, it then creates a picture that we can see. Then we are able to actually create structures out of it. So a person that is creative is able to manifest his creativity because his right brain has already put the package together, and then he can come and put that package together with the help of the left brain. So there has to be a communication between both brains for anything that we do to manifest. Then we can say to ourselves, we are whole-brained rather than just being one brain. And today, Julie, you can see how people are so emotional. People are so much out of control because of that separation they have created for themselves. See, you know, it's a choice that you make. You make the choice to limit yourself. Your possibilities are limited because you don't want to access your left brain. And that is what the Wonder Who is going to do for people. You know, it's going to give you that opportunity to start seeing the whole. And also the other thing I wish to mention, Julie, is that, you know, the simplest way you can access your left brain, your spirituality, your mind, is through numbers, because numbers come with waves. See? And people
numbers
don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
Numbers come with what?
Waves.
Oh, with waves. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So every time you see waves, you have to see numbers. And so when you learn to deal with numbers, when you become comfortable with numbers, Now, I'm not talking about the mathematics that people teach. You know, you go to college, you get a bachelor's degree, you got a master's, a PhD, which, of course, my son got. You know, my son is a PhD in statistics, and he's a professor in a university here. But that doesn't show you any evidence of you using your mind, because that is rote memory, you see.
Uh-huh.
Again,
yeah.
It limits you to memory, so it doesn't do you any good.
Right.
But, yeah, Julie, go ahead.
No, I've agreed. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. And so you ought to be able to look at numbers as a universal access. You know, it's an access to the universe. In fact, Julie, there's one thing, you know, that is what they call universal intelligence. Now, universal intelligence comes about, for instance, right now the sun is out and the universe is sending light. Now, the light coming to Earth is not just coming by itself, but it's also coming with many other cosmic waves, you know, from the different stars, from Sirius A, Sirius B, from all the stars, from trillions and trillions of miles away. Now, all of that belongs to the future. See, all of that information is coming down on, to us here on Earth, coming from the future, and it's coming as waves. So when all of that intelligence comes into our brains, now, what happens to the brain is that the brain basically absorbs all of that information. Okay, now, some of the waves are really, really very much difficult to deal with, because they are something like gamma waves. You know, they are really, those are the kinds that actually give people cancer, you know, skin cancer and all of that stuff. So what happens is that when the waves go into your brain, it goes through what they call the curriculi. These are tissues that surround the pineal gland. Again, one thing that Western science has done, because they know very little about the pineal gland, they say it is functionless. Well, that's a lie.
I agree with that. Yeah, it is a lie.
Right. Yeah, definitely. See, the pineal gland is the most powerful little gland that you can have in your brain. It's simply because it is the one that connects you to the universe. Now, when all of that intelligence comes into your brain, these tissues that they call the curriculi, the initial one, the input, the tissue that receives the information is called the curriculi rostralis, which is like a beak. Rostralis, I think, is a Latin word for beak, you know, like a bird's beak. Okay,
uh-huh.
So that's the one that gobbles the information. Then what happens is that it processes, and it takes away the really cosmic harmful radiation and sends those through the third ventricle in the brain. So those ventricles are like gutters. So it gets rid of that, and then it sends the processed information to the curriculi superioris, and here again it goes through some processing. And then it gets rid of the waste through the fourth ventricle. And so what then remains, it keeps around the pineal gland. So at night when you go to bed, Julie, and you go to sleep, the pineal gland manufactures melatonin.
Right.
And when it manufactures melatonin, the melatonin then that comes out, which is a neurotransmitter, picks up on the intelligence that was processed during the day. And so it is this intelligence that melatonin takes to every cell of your body.
Mm-hmm.
So that when now there is something happening and you want to concentrate on it, Julie, it is the melatonin that helps you to concentrate. But because people have been so brainwashed to not even know about the pineal gland, so they have very little focus on what these functions can do for them. So until you learn that your pineal gland is really a very important part of you, then what happens is that you are always going to feel excited. You're always going to feel emotional because you think being emotional is the right thing to do. Being out of control is the right thing to do. But it is not, because when you are out of control, what happens is that you are producing more and more of serotonin. And when you produce more of serotonin, then it overrides your melatonin. And so you continue until you become so anxious, you become so stressed, you become, you know, all because your serotonin production is really high and it overrides the melatonin. So all
that
of the
is episodes. Very that is very, very fascinating, and I have to agree with you, because the pineal gland is what they consider to be the third eye.
Exactly.
And it is the spiritual connection to
right.
to the whole to everything. And in between that, from what I've learned, is the pineal gland and the pituitary gland. In between that is where the thoughts are first born.
Right. Right.
So what you're saying, but I've never heard that serotonin is overridden. It makes absolute sense to me now.
Okay.
And of course you're absolutely right. And it's not activated, your pineal gland is not activated until you are asleep because of the darkness. So if you close your eyes at night and try to see, you're activating the pineal gland, right?
Right, right. Definitely, yes, yes. And that, you know, that's how you develop your concentration power. You know, today, Julie, many people don't even have any form of concentration at all. And, you know, that's the thing that we talk about, you know, the law of, how did I call it now? You know, I keep for abstract, the law of adverse attraction.
Right.
Yeah. See, when you don't have a good concentration, you may have a wonderful focus now, you know, and there's a big difference between how you focus and how you concentrate. You know, the way you focus is primarily, you know, you use your eyes, your ears, your hands, and all of that. You focus. And what happens is that you are receiving more vibrations. You know, focus deals with vibrations. And vibrations are about particles, you know, the things that have to be touched. The, you know, when you focus on matter. Now, concentration is different. Concentration is abstract. Concentration is the control. It is what comes in to control your focus capacity. Now, if you don't have any concentration powers at all, what happens to you then is that as you keep focusing on stuff, you keep focusing by primarily reinforcing your memory about what you think is the right thing to do. You may be focusing on the wrong thing and still reinforcing it. You know, it's like somebody who becomes an addict. See, an addict will keep taking the same thing, or somebody who wants to lose weight, but they have no good concentration about how to lose weight. So they will keep eating and say, oh, well, no, tomorrow I'm not going to eat the same thing. And then tomorrow comes, they are back eating the same thing. They, you know, so it's like you have no control. Well, you're not going to have control if you don't have concentration. So these things have to work together. And people, primarily, most people just teach people how to focus, but they don't teach them how to concentrate. You know, a good example of this is, again, people can read it on the website. It's the example I gave about Muhammad Ali, you know, as a champion, and Tiger Woods as champions. Now, one of the things that people have to learn, you know, Tiger Woods stands there. I think he's playing this weekend. He's playing fantastic golf. I mean,
yeah.
He's setting records. Yeah, he's setting records constantly. Well, why? Well, the secret behind Tiger Woods' prowess is that he's able to look at stuff, and then right away he starts to do the numbers on his mind. He takes away the memory. You know, he forgets about, well, this is what I learned yesterday. This is what my coach told me yesterday. This is what. No, he throws that down. He throws those thoughts down the gutter. He goes into his mind. He's now starts to look. His mind, his pineal gland, starts to see where the hole is, where the ball has to go. His pineal gland starts to tell him how much pressure he should put on the stick, whatever they call the golf thing. They call it the golf stick. So
golf
all
club,
of,
yeah.
Yeah, the club, yeah. So all of these things are done by his pineal gland giving him the instructions. So when it comes to strike the ball, he strikes it with the right force. It's that easy.
Wow. Well, that makes sense. So how do you get the Wonder Wheel is about numbers, and it's about activating or bringing both the left and the right side of the brains together, right?
Right.
Or is it about the pineal gland?
Right.
It's about all of that, right?
Right. Right.
How does that work? Is it just memorizing numbers? No, it's not memorizing. How do we do that? I don't understand.
Right. Okay. You know, Julie, in fact, the book that I put together that people can order from the website, I have 21 games on there. They can either get the PDF download or so. I have 21 games. And what I have done is that I have primarily because I have worked with people for so long, most people tend to memorize because they want to, again, go to the memory instead of go to the mind. So what I have done is I have created different variables in terms of how you play the game. So because of those variables, you cannot really memorize because when you play the first game and then you go to the second game, the numbers are basically changed or the discovery is going to be changed. So there are different modes of gameplay that I have imposed into those 21 games that you cannot memorize. But at the same time, you know, when you actually tell yourself, well, let me challenge myself. This is what people don't want to do. People don't want to challenge themselves because everything has been fed to them. You know, everything is automatic. You can sit down there and switch channels on your TV. You can go and have your TV dinner and all of that stuff. So what this game is supposed to do is actually win people away from those kinds of very comfortable lifestyle because your mind doesn't require comfort. You see, and when things happen to you, when you are in dire situations, for instance, your health, stress and anxiety and all of these things, when these things are facing you, it's not an easy thing. You need to challenge yourself. And so what Wonder Wheel does is give you the prepare you so that you can look at the situation yourself and challenge yourself and say, well, I'm not going to run to the emergency room. I'm not going to run to the doctor. I'm going to sit back and look at myself. See a photo of myself. You know, if I don't act on this situation now, what is going to happen to me? Am I going to have a heart attack? Am I going to have a stroke? Well, let me start to ask these questions myself and find the answer to my question. Now, this is what Wonder Wheels do. It forces you to look into the depth of things. It forces you to get your mind, to get your eyes, to basically synchronize what you are seeing to actually, again, give you the incentive to say, I need to increase my rate of function. In other words, if I have been too slow in looking at things, now I'm going to increase the speed with which I'm going to look at things. So the games that I have put together within those 21 games, I have said you have to accomplish something like 45 seconds by the time you get to the 21st game. And so people then will have to start to initiate themselves into a different form of thought. Mm-hmm. See, in order for you to change anything, you have to change your thinking first. And this is where we start, because the Wonder Wheel is going into your thinking. That's the reason why we have the Dogon University of Thought. You have to go back and look at the way you think before you can tell me that I need to change. Now, if you don't know how to think, how are you going to tell me to change? See? So there must be a connection between the way that you look at things, the way that you focus on things, and how you have to modify them or how you have to alter them or anything that you need to do. It has to be a thinking process. The thinking is the underlying factor. Once you have a clear picture of your thoughts, then everything else will fall in place.
Hmm. Well, so is it just with numbers or can it be with words, you know, like crossword puzzles? Does that help just to get your brain in sync?
Well, we have different forms of it, but it has to be really, you see, the way that the Wonder Wheels works is, it's not just, you know, it goes beyond memory. See, with puzzles, you basically trap in memory. But with Wonder Wheels, you transcend memory. In fact, what we have done, we have another one that we call the alphanumeric type. You know, it's a mixture. You know, you have numbers and letters and words. So you can actually create words out of it. And then you go beyond just creating words, and then you can actually then go and discover the value of words. Then there is another one that we call the quantum linguistics. We actually developed what we call quantum linguistics, in which now you can use the same word. Say, for instance, your name is Julie. Okay, so with your name, we would say that the J in your name is a wave. It represents a wave because it's a consonant. And then the U in your name is a vowel. So
right.
The vowel then becomes a particle. And then the L is a consonant. And then so the L then becomes a wave. And then the I and then the E are both particles. So, you know, so we can actually write your name as a code, you know, wave, a consonant, and then a wave, and then a particle. See? So you can actually go through that process. And as you go through that process, you are again opening your left brain to something that is so unique and different that it encourages you to continue to link yourself mentally and spiritually to something that otherwise is not in existence.
I see now, and that makes sense. You don't want to activate the memory. You want to stay away from the memory and just bring the two minds or two hemispheres together. That makes sense.
Exactly. See, because the memory is limiting, Julie. You know, I mean, that's the reason why we have all these wars. You know, I mean, I would tell you, look, Julie, I have a superior culture because I'm a Dogon. Well, that, you know, it doesn't matter to you whether I'm a Dogon or not. What matters to you is, well, is this you know, a guy here? Is he? Should I even have time with him? You know, we have to look at each other as equals, as people that we contribute to the betterment of the world. Just like you are saying, let's get together and do the meditation for the planet. Now, these are the things that people need to be looking at instead of saying, oh, well, my religion doesn't allow that for me to happen. You see, so what is religion? Religion is a memory thing, you see?
Yeah, sure is, isn't it? Wow. Interesting. Very fascinating. I love it. So that's, it just makes so much sense. So the adverse attraction then is really that our emotions are bringing everything bad to us.
Right. It is our emotions, and you know I've been in situations where people say, oh no, you know you need to express your emotions. I said, yeah, sure, you know, but the fact is, I mean, if there is something that you need to express, I said, I am that person. I express myself. But the way that you express yourself has to make sense. In other words, you have to give something to someone with an understanding. You know, for instance, you know, I tell people, I say, you know what, education is really misdirected. Well, people will say, well, what do you mean? Well, look at what I have. Look at the education I'm providing. See, look at it and see if this education will benefit you better than the one that you have already. You know, there was a statistic that was out. My wife was reading that to me about the Department of Labor also followed a group of people, you know, maybe 100 people or so. And what they realized was that out of those 100 people, almost 90% of them or so who had started work by the time they were in their 20s up to the time they retired, only about maybe 3% of them were wealthy. About 30% had died, you know, poor, and the rest of them were living a miserable life, you know, on their social security and stuff like that. So that's what we're talking about in terms of adverse attractions. You know, you get attracted to a lifestyle. You say, okay, all I want to do is have my regular job, go to work every day, get me a house, buy me my two cars, and so forth. But if the point about it is, whatever your circumstance may be today, look at inflation. What is inflation going to do to you? What are the other problems that are going to come within the environment that are going to create the instability that is going to affect you? Most people don't think about that because they don't want to go through the thinking process. You know, I'm not saying don't take a job, but what I'm saying is whatever you do, go ahead and think about it and think beyond what it is that you are doing. Think beyond it.
And the only way you can think beyond it is to get everything in sync.
Exactly.
That is the only way, or else you're going to go into the memory.
Exactly, yeah.
So you're saying we really can't, until we get our minds in sync, we're really not doing or using the law of attraction to our advantage. We can't.
No, we're not. We are not at all. The law of attraction is a mind law. You know, you see, what the law of attraction does, Julie, is that it sends you into the universe. You know, the universe beyond you. I mean, you are in Florida also. You know, the law of attraction, once you apply it to your mind, it sends you beyond Florida, into California, into Africa, into everywhere. Now, pretty soon, with all of the programs you're producing, Julie, you know, people are out there wanting to learn. I mean, particularly now with the state of the universe, of the planet. You know, there's anything that everything you hear now is misery. You know, people are depressed.
Right.
And now you reached out here to California. You got me on the air. So this is the universe that you've opened to people. People are going to start finding solutions now. You are providing solutions to people. Now people can call in or people can buy the materials to start to reconfigure themselves. You know, if they are depressed or they are overstressed or they are worried, now they know they have a resource that they can come to and then solve their problems. See, this is what you do. You don't just limit yourself. You don't just go and say, oh, I'm going to play music all day today on the air, or I'm just going to find someone to come and crack some jokes for my listeners. No, you say, I'm going to go look. I'm going to continue to seek people who are going to help humanity, because this is what we have to do. It is a responsibility. Our responsibility as humans, Julie, is to be able to look at each other and say, well, what can I do for you today? How can we live happily together? It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter if you are rich or poor. My interest in you is to be able to offer you something that you can use, and then when you use it, please pass it on to someone else, and then let's keep passing it on so we can make this planet a better place. But yeah, this is lost now.
Yeah. This is really great. And it really does make a lot of sense, especially because I've been studying the pineal gland, and
uh-huh.
You are right on target.
Mm.
You are right on target. Can I ask another question about that, though? Now, some people have said they're sun worshippers, and they can look directly at the sun during certain times of the evening and early morning. And they say that actively, that light lets the pineal gland grow. Is there any truth to that?
Well, let me tell you what happens, Julie. You know, one of the things that actually Christianity did to our great ancestors from Kemet, Egypt, many, many thousands of years ago was that they primarily demeaned them and said they were sun worshippers. Well, that's so wrong, Julie. You know, I have two of my students are doing that now. In fact, one, he's right here in California, in Los Angeles. When he came to the Dogon, this young brother here, he's 23 years old now, the glasses he was wearing were so thick and heavy. I mean, he had a terrible bad eyesight. And I introduced him to the Dogon Wonder Wheels, and then the meditation, the number of meditations that we do. So he started to do those. And then suddenly, as he did those meditations, the idea came to him to start looking at the sun. So he was looking at the sun, not in the evening, at 12 midday.
At 12 midday, yeah. That's the tough time, yeah, okay.
Right, yeah. So he started staring into the sun during midday. And Julie, in less than two years, this guy threw away his glasses.
Yeah.
He's now seeing almost 20/20. And then there's another student of mine. He's in Washington, D.C. He looks into the sun also, and he asks me this question constantly. Well, you know, is this not sun worshiping? I said, no, it is not. Well, he says, well, what is it? Well, this is the secret behind it. Remember our saying about the dark universe, everything
right,
coming from darkness, okay? Now, inside the core of the sun, or inside the core of every star in the universe, there is always that middle part that is all carbon, Julie. Carbon. That is where everything that you see, the light coming out of a star, that is where the pressures are created. Inside that darkness, there's darkness inside the core of the sun. Even though the sun is giving out light, or the stars are giving out light, there is constantly darkness within that core. You know, it is the center point of the star, in which you have that blackness, that darkness, just like the dark universe. You know, tonight, go outside and look in the universe, you forget about the stars up there, and you will just see darkness. So the darkness that is in the star, it is actually what links the star to the dark universe. See, remember what God said in the Bible? And God said, let there be light. And there was light, right? Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4?
Right.
Okay, right. And so before there was light, there was all darkness. The whole universe was all dark, until that event occurred. Well, in fact, you know, that's, again, a fairy tale, because God just didn't say, let there be light. God did some work for light to happen. You know, that's a science that I write about, I talk about also. But the fact is, when you look at the sun, you are really not looking at the light itself. Your pineal gland is deep in the core of the sun, into the darkness of the sun. That's what the Africans were doing in Kemet, Egypt, you know, about 5,000-6,000 years ago. When they looked at the sun, they were looking into the core of the sun because they wanted to see the darkness, the dark universe, through the sun.
I see. That makes a lot of sense. And I had sun gaze before, but I do it at an hour before sunset where it's safe, and then an hour after sunrise. So I don't do it at 12 noon because I'm just chicken. But what I have discovered from studying that is that people can actually go for months and months without eating anything.
Right.
I mean, it takes away all hunger, and yet they are absolutely in perfect health.
Exactly.
And they're, like you said, the eyesights get absolutely 100%. I mean,
yeah,
it's really amazing. And so it has to do with the pineal gland. I just think this is so fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good for you. This is wonderful stuff, isn't it?
Well, thank you, Julie. That, you know, that's what I'm saying. I hope your listeners call in. You know, let them go to the website, www.dohgonuniversity.com, and then, you know, let them send questions.
Yeah, that, and everybody needs to do that. And I see that there is no one, although Shirley is in our chat room, and I see she doesn't have a question. She's just basically giving additional information. She's a real big fan of the professors. And I wish she would get on the phone, though, but I don't know if she will, because she's had tremendous success with your program or by doing the
meditation,
merging of
yeah,
the two minds. She has lost a lot of weight, and she's
right,
really been very, very successful. Matter of fact, she's on YouTube also, I believe.
Right, yes.
Doing,
Facebook.
Yeah, doing
the Wonder Wheels, yeah.
Yeah, the Wonder Wheels. So,
yeah.
It's clear that it works.
Hi, Shirley. How are you? Calling, Shirley.
But even if she doesn't, she's on there and she's talking on the chat room. This has really been wonderful. Is there anything else that you could tell us about the mind? We just need to go to your site and purchase the...
All the tools that we have,
stuff.
Yeah.
The Wonder Wheel especially.
Yeah.
And what about the Voice Flex Sonar? You don't have that there, right?
No, we have it all. We have it all. You know,
it has a
separate page for itself. You know, people can just really go on each page and see what we have. You know, there's just a tremendous amount of information there. We have something about championship. We have something about the universe, you know. I mean, it's really, there's so much in there that people can take. But, you know, Julie, I think the important thing about the mind is that we are all in very difficult situations now. You know, the planet itself is not giving any problems at all, but it's us, the humans. You know, we are changing the dynamics of the planet. And for one thing, let me say this very quickly. You know, people, particularly here in Los Angeles, are beginning to be very interested in what happened in 1992. In fact, when I gave my lecture on Friday, some guy came, you know, drove all the way, probably about 40, 50 miles away, and came to me. He said, you know what? He says, Brother Momo, I really want you to tell me about what the Dogon said about 1992. Well, let your listeners listen to this. There is what they call the Sigi ceremony. The Sigi represents the Sirius stars, and the Dogon directly communicate with his Sirius stars. So this guy came and said, "Well, I want to know more about this." Well, what happened was 1992 was the last year that the Dogon said they are going to do the ceremony. They perform this ceremony every 60 years. And so when 1992 came, they said, well, we're not going to perform this ceremony because something cataclysmic is going to happen to the planet within the next 60 years. So they said, we're not going to perform this ceremony anymore. So people wanted to know, well, why? What's going to happen? Well, what's going to happen is that there is going to be either an asteroid or something that's going to really ram on the planet. And when that happens, Julie, let your listeners hear this clearly, because let it not be a surprise to them. When that happens, the planet is going to go dark. It will go dark not just for a few days. The planet will go dark because the dust that will rise from here, it will completely shield the sunlight. And so the planet may go dark for a few years, a few months, I don't know. But it will, you know, there will be a total polar shift. The North Pole will probably come to the South, or you know, there will be a total polar shift. And when that happens, the population will almost completely wipe out. And so how do you survive that kind of event? Well, the way you survive it, just like we mentioned about the click sonar science, people need to learn to see without eyes. People need to learn to utilize their pineal glands, because that is how you are going to be able to go from one place to the other to get some water to drink. Your electricity is not going to work because they are all electromagnetic. So once the earth goes out of sync, once that polar shift happens, your electrical systems are all dead. Your car won't run. I mean, like I said, everything will be in darkness for a long, long time. So that.
But we can absolutely change the future by the way we think. So if everybody gets into sync, it may never happen.
Definitely.
Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. So people need to start, just like you were saying, let us do, you know, constantly go through this process of, you know, reconfiguring the planet, you know, because, you see, the thing about it, Julie, is that everything happens with mass, you see. When you have 6 billion people on the planet, they all don't think right. They are all manipulated. They are all being manipulated by a few. You know, you have a few elite who tell you to do this. I mean, they create war here. They create chaos over there. They create, you know, famine over there. They create disease over there. So people are completely disoriented. So they are creating a mass that is creating an imbalance on the planet. That's where you know, you and I and all these other good people who are spiritual people need to come in and reverse these things, because, you know, the evil is outweighing the good. So when you have, you know, evil is 99% and then good is only 1%, Julie, you know, the earth is out of balance.
Right.
And so those forces then, you know, asteroids and stuff like that will easily round the earth. So we need to act real fast, real quick to bring the balance back into the universe.
Okay, let's go to Shirley real fast. She's on the line right here. I believe she is. If I can unmute her.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah,
hi,
Shirley.
We got 2 minutes, but I wanted you to tell everybody what great success you've had.
I'll tell you something. With my experience with the numbers and counting from 100 to 0 and back up to 100 and sending Professor Momo where I was stumbling, I started to piece together in my own mind why I had so many hang-ups with my weight loss. Like, I've been tracking my weight loss since August of 06, and even before that as well. But I've had problems with my weight since I was a teenager, and I'm sure a lot of us have. But with him, it's kind of like it helps me rewire my motherboard. It makes me, like, if it's old programming that didn't work, I put myself into my meditation of 100 to 0. I'll do it in the bathroom. I'll do it on break. I'll do it while driving into work. It's my new form of it's my chant, and it brings me a lot of peace. And now I'm doing the Wonder Wheel, which is very fascinating. And even I deal with a lot of numbers during the day because that's what I do. I'm a number cruncher. But even with the Wonder Wheel, I feel that it really eliminates your – for that 4 or 5 minutes or 3 minutes that you're doing the Wonder Wheel, you're thinking of nothing but the numbers and the little letters on the circle, and you're hunting and pecking the numbers. And for that time period –
And real fast, because we've got less than 30 seconds.
Okay. Let me see. I was stuck at 240 pounds about mid October of last year. I couldn't get out of that plateau. I was working up to 2 times a day, like a maniac, on Nutrisystem, you name it. I was stuck. I started doing the counting from 100 to 0. I sent Professor Momo the numbers where I was stumbling on.
Yeah,
I started,
and tell me how much weight have you lost?
Oh, I'm down to 208 right now.
Very good. Excellent.
And I know, and I'm losing a consistent pound and a half, 2 pounds a week. And my
That's
hunger
great.
Is like, when I get hungry, I count. And
okay.
I just say, it's an
wonderful.
And I think, anyways, you have a wonderful show. I'm happy you guys connected. And have a happy Easter. And
thanks,
okay,
thanks,
thank
Sally.
You,
thanks, Sally.
Okay,
and
bye.
Professor, thank you so much. That is just a fantastic information that I can see by the chat room. Everybody's loving it.
Okay.
We're going to give the site real fast. I've got 9 minutes. It's Dogon, D-O-H-G-O-N, university.com. It's his website. Go there.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, and the show is over.
Okay, thanks, Julie.
Oh, girl.
Thank
that was a
you.
Fabulous show, Julie.
Thank you.
You guys, oh, my God, that was so fun. And then
well,
on top of that.
Shut off right now. Oh, I'll talk to you in a minute.
All right.